What's up, guys? It's your boy Wings of Redemption, and we're back with Painkiller Already, episode 21. I'm sorry we can't live stream it for the next couple weeks, because nobody here has a connection strong enough to live stream anything more than like a picture. Even then, that's going to be a very blurry picture.
Yeah.
We do have two guests today. We have our buddy Onslaught, and we have Frank. Is that your name?
Hey, Frank? What's up? Oh, yeah, that's my name.
Is Frank short for Francis? That would be badass.
No, it's just regular Frank.
You guys obviously know Onslaught, but Frank, you do not know. Frank, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself?
All right, I'm a ex-KSK member, and for those who don't know, it's the equivalent of the Green Beret. It's the Special Forces of Germany. And I'm 36 years old now, and I was in the KSK for roughly 5 years, and before that, I was in the regular German military. I was stationed in Bosnia for a year and Afghanistan for a year. And since then, I've been a consultant for private military corporations, and now I own my gun store here in Texas.
Oh, you're getting paid now. I didn't know that you were a consultant. Those guys get paid.
Yeah.
Nice.
Blackwater
Edits.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. You are getting paid. Congratulations, Frank. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Wow.
So you're driving the Audi, huh?
I just have a Land Rover, but yeah, that's what I'm gonna stop.
Just a Land Rover, little nothing much there.
Yeah,
nice. I don't know. How did Frank Wings, or how did you guys pick up Frank, or how did y'all find Frank? How'd that happen?
He sent me a message talking about he's a member of the SKS and he has Special Forces stories. This is when we were actually looking for a veteran of a World War.
It's KSK, right?
Yeah, it's KSK.
Okay, and, you keep getting mixed up with
the
assault.
My buddy Jeff, his grandfather was a tail gunner for a Lancaster bomber.
Oh, and, yeah, I remember you saying that, talking about that.
And we ran into a problem with him, basically, because he lives in a retirement home now. He's like 85 or 86, and he couldn't get access to internet.
Like, it was like bedtime over there by the time it was time to do the podcast.
Sort of.
7 o'clock, yeah. They shut it down.
I mean, he could get access to a computer, but he couldn't download anything onto it. He couldn't do none of it. He couldn't, like, have a headset or none of that. So, I'm going to try to get it set up to have, like, a phone interview and maybe, like, tack it on to one of my videos later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Yeah, because I would be really interested in hearing some of the stories that that guy had. Being the ball gunner on one of those planes is that would not have been fun.
That's probably the most dangerous job in World War II.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. I mean,
well, other than a runner, runners had the worst job in World War II.
Yeah, or one of those guys that was running the like the phone lines or something in Stalingrad. Those guys were just targets.
Yeah,
you remember what runners did in World War II?
They ran.
They basically when communications was down, like you'd lose your phone or your radio, you had a guy on your team that's designated as the runner. You'd give him the message to go to the other platoons and give it out. If he got shot, he didn't stop running. Because he got to the next platoon, they'd have to patch him up and send him out again until he died.
Yeah, that's that's the whole basis of the movie Gallipoli. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't seen that.
Don't watch it because it's got a really awful ending. But it's about two Australian runners, one of whom is Mel Gibson, and he's actually using his Australian accent back when he had one, I guess, and when he didn't hate the Jews so much, and he's a runner, and during the Battle of Gallipoli, and it's a really bad ending, but up until the ending, it's a pretty good movie.
Wow. So it's basically what, if we were playing Modern Warfare 2, it's what we would try to talk our random into doing, you know, if we're playing an objective game.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, go tell Woody there's three guys over here and I need some help.
Yeah, we'll keep your respawn area on lock here. You go ahead and patch you up when you get back.
Oh, so. Okay. Well, the reason they couldn't, like, pass it off if they got shot, because they didn't want information leaking all through everything and, you know, having more seals.
Yeah. All right, so I'm guessing Frank has some, like, badass stories, right?
Well, most of my stories are from training and stories I've been told from other members of Special Forces. But where do you want me to start, Wings?
Well, you were telling us, this is my favorite part, you're telling us about the Spetsnaz training and how, like, you know, occasionally, like, different special forces groups would get together and you'd all be talking about the training methods in your own countries and some of the stories that you got out of the Spetsnaz guys.
Yeah,
why don't you elaborate a little bit on what on some of their training methods and techniques?
All right, first thing for all you guys who are listening to this, don't join the Spetsnaz. Just a warning. Don't. First of all, you'll probably die trying to. The biggest training element that the Spetsnaz had would, after all the physical training that they would have to go through, they would strap you up to a wall, and they would start punching you in the gut, just pounding on you for 5 minutes straight. And the moment you wince, you'd be cut. Now, the people that got from this would be moved on to the next level, which is when they'll be, their arm would be tied to a wall. They'll get usually just a regular 9mm pistol and point it right at your tricep and fire 3 rounds straight through it. And then if you did not wince, you'll be accepted into Spetsnaz. That's
what?
Obviously,
like, is that possible?
Yeah, I guess.
Damn, dude, that's like Chuck Norris shit. That's ridiculous.
I don't think the fucking Halo Marines can handle that shit.
I don't know how you could, like, not wince if you had, like, a hot-ass barrel of a pistol on your tricep.
Yeah. So this guy had 3 scars.
Yeah.
He had 3 scars, just 3 holes, like, about an inch separate from each other on his tricep, on his left arm.
Oh. So they don't even give you, like, the dignity of, like, putting it through the same hole. They just move it down the line.
No, they just move it.
God.
He said literally this guy, this maybe 50-year-old guy with a beard, just was staring at him directly in the eye while shooting him, like, with, he got like 1 second of rest in between each shot, just 1, 2, 3.
Oh my goodness, dude.
Yeah. Like, I just don't understand how you couldn't, like, freak out when that happened, because I know it's like somebody, like, if somebody was just, like, slapping my arm suddenly, I would wince. Like, you know, like it'd be kind of like a surprise, you know, not so much from the pain, but like, oh, you slapped me again, I'm going to wince now. Or like if somebody was like thumping you really hard. But no, they're shooting you.
Oh, that's,
yeah.
Dude. That's like, yeah, that's hardcore, dude.
And then the last story I probably have from the Spetsnaz is, I've already told this, but I'll say it again. This one guy, he told me about how, after everything he had been through, he was at his house and he was suddenly kidnapped, and he thought it was obviously some just terrorists that found out who he actually was and that he was part of the Spetsnaz. And when they got him into the room, they first told him straight up his family had been killed and that he was going to be interrogated for information on Spetsnaz training locations and any other information that they could get out of him. And if he broke at all through the interview, the show is off and they'll tell him, hey, look, family's alright, but you're not made the cut. And this whole thing was just a big setup just to see if you could go through the emotional aspect of being a Spetsnaz. And
wow.
what would happen if you were actually caught.
No. You know, afterwards, I'd be like, fuck you guys! I don't want to be here anymore! You know what? That's bullshit. You don't tell me. It's like, no. Like, that's just...
I would think it would be hard to even, like... I mean, you mentioned having a family. Like, I mean, how... Like, I don't even know how you could have, a normal family if you were in something, like, that deep, you know?
Yeah. When I got married to my wife, back in 2005, I dropped out of KSK.
Yeah, because that would be, like, ridiculous. Like, I would think if they were really going to test you, like, they wouldn't even say that they had already killed your family, you know? They would be like, look, we're torturing your family. The longer it takes you to give up this information, the more we're going to torture them, you know? I mean, that would be just,
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah,
power on them.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't do that considering you're still healing up for the 3 bullet wounds left in your arm.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, like, one of the coolest things I've ever seen Jack Bauer do on 24 was when he had the Arabic terrorist, and the guy knew where the bomb was and he wouldn't tell him, and he breaks one of the guy's fingers, and that guy's like, I'm used to pain. Like, he doesn't care. Like, after he breaks his finger, so he's like, all right. So he brings in, like, a closed-circuit TV with a broadcast all the way from Saudi Arabia. He's had the Saudi Arabian government grab the guy's family, and he's like, he's got him on a satellite phone, and he's like, tell me where the bomb is, or your oldest son dies. And, like, you see on the screen, like, some masked man has a gun to the son. He's like, no! No! He gets on the phone. He's like, kill him! They, like, kick the kid on the floor. Pop, pop, pop!
Oh,
tell me where that bomb is! No! Awesome. Awesome. I love that. But yeah, I wouldn't want that done to me. Yeah, I don't... No.
We're talking about Al Pacino movies, and it's a good transition over from this.
Oh, man.
Remember the movie with that they do that to? That one kid that's trying to be in, like, the FBI?
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
What was the name of that movie?
Oh, God, I'm going to look this up now. I definitely remember that movie.
I mean, only thing I remember about that movie is, like, can I pick him? When he actually turns on Al Pacino at the end of the movie. So Al Pacino ends up being a bad cop.
Oh, the Recruit.
The Recruit.
Oh, yeah. The Recruit. It had, what's the guy, what's the trade? The
Josh
Colin Farrell. No, Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell, that's who it was. Dude, that was a badass movie. That was a good movie.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, he broke his.
Yeah, dude. There was I think there was a girl or something in the same training class with him, and they had to, I don't know, he kind of had a soft spot for her, and they ended up breaking him through her.
Yeah, after they shocked him in the balls with a generator.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
You know, I could probably take the shock to the balls. One thing I couldn't take is the fucking white room. I couldn't take the white room.
I've said this all along, man. Like, whenever my cousin and I are watching a movie, and you know, they're like, all right, we're going to need to know this information, and then they start getting out, like, torture implements, I'm always like, all right, he just got out pliers. The fact that he has pliers means that he means business. He doesn't have to use them on me. I'm going to talk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, whoever I'm going to have to give up, but he's got pliers, all right? He's not using those on me.
Yeah, and if he has pliers, he's probably done this before.
Yeah,
so he's prepared, and he's going to know the quickest way to give you the most pain as possible.
I'll say this. I could take a beating, all right? You know, I could take getting beaten up, you know. I wouldn't crack immediately under just getting the shit beat out of me. Eventually, probably, yeah. But, you know, I could take a beating for several minutes, I think, without giving information. So when I see in the movies just somebody's getting punched in the stomach or slapped around a little bit, you know, I'm like, I could take that if I really had to, if it was something I really didn't want to give up. But I remember in the movie Payback with Mel Gibson, when they get out the hammer and the old guy's like, starts smashing his toes, and he smashes the third toe, and he's like, starting to look like roast beef. And I'm thinking to myself, like, as soon as you got out that fucking hammer, I'd have told you exactly where she was. Like, you've got a hammer. I'm talking. And he was going to talk anyway because it was all a setup. You know, the place he was going to send him had a bomb in it, and he had this whole plan about how he was going to detonate the bomb and kill them all. I'd have told him immediately, dude, you're not smashing my toes with that fucking hammer.
He had to sell it.
I guess so. And, like, what that Liam Neeson movie a while back, Taken, when stabs the two electrodes into each of the guy's thighs and, like, start talking about the power grid and how they're in France and it'll just stay on until somebody turns it off for lack of paying the bill. As soon as he got those out, I'd have been like, all right, here she is. She's over here, there. The main guy's name is Bill. He's the one you want to get. Like, no, you don't have to put those electrodes in my leg, dude. I'm sorry. I'm going to break under torture. It's just I can't be dealing with that.
You can say this. I mean, but I'd probably break under torture too. But just think about the white room. Just think about that. Every time they get done, you know, turning your toes into roast beef, they throw you in a room that has nothing stimulating in it at all. You don't know
can
what time
sleep?
It is. Yeah, you can sleep. I mean, I guess. Well, some people probably won't let you. Like they'll come and wake you up every time you try to go to sleep.
Sleep deprivation would be terrible.
Dude, yeah, that would. You know, being up like 36, that right there would make me crack. I'd be wanting to go to sleep so bad, I'd crack.
What about the shit where they keep, like, your eyelids open? Dude, that would fucking kill me. You know those mechanisms they can put on your eyes that just keep them open constantly? Like, I would freak out.
I would think, like, some of the things that I've seen that, you know, that the United States uses, like, sensory deprivation and like, overstimulation, and, or, like, they'll put you in a dark room with a bag over your head in an awkward, chained in an awkward position, and then they'll, like, play, like, Powder Puff Girl music, like, cranked up, like, super loud, like, for, you know, 12 hours, however long straight, and then they'll ask a few questions, and if you don't have the right answers, you're right back at it again. That's some rough stuff. Like, I mean, as bad as it would be getting, you know, fingers broken, or, like, you know, fingernails pulled off, or
bones healed. That when you get broken mentally, you're fucked.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to deal with any torture. I'm gonna let you know right now. If any of you crazy fanboys, the ones who like to send me weird shit in the mail, ever kidnap me, you know, I'll crack right away. You don't even have to get the tools out. Just let me know.
All this talk about tools, I can tell you from personal experience, toes hurt much more than fingers.
Yeah.
If a hammer's pulled on your pinky toe, you'll be screaming. I don't care how big you are. My pinky toe is useless now. My left pinky toe got slammed with a hammer. And I can tell you, it was the most painful thing. I don't care how many women come forth and say, no, childbirth's more painful. This, you get your toe smashed in by a hammer.
Who smashed your toe with a hammer?
Yeah, I was gonna say, was this part of the training, or was this just like a crazy accident, like woodwork?
This was when I was stationed in Afghanistan. It was during my last year of service for the KSK. I was captured for about 2 hours, and by just a bunch of these guys were probably just local militia. And I'm not sure if you know this, but in KSK, each squadron there's four guys. There's an intel guy. There's a communications guy, there's a weapons guy, and there's a medical guy, and I was the intel guy. And I was out scoping around trying to find the air, and I got, well, I guess you can say kidnapped. And all of us have trackers on us, so as soon as we're gone, we just press this button on our chest, and they know immediately that something's wrong. So in that short hour that I was gone, I had my pinky left toe smashed in with a hammer about twice. And I had my index finger on my right hand broken at the, I guess you could say, the middle joint to the left. So it was basically at a left, it was at a right angle, just sticking out to the left. And
ow!
Yeah, I had to have surgery. Still pretty, it was messed up. I mean, imagine seeing your hand and then your top part of your index finger just sticking out to the left.
So what were they asking you?
I don't know, they were speaking Arabic, I guess.
What the fuck?
Damn,
I'm not sure if they're just trying to hurt me or something, but, I mean, as soon as
asking questions before they did these things, or were they just like, let's fuck him up?
Well, I got hit in the back of the head by, I'm guessing, a rifle butt, and I got dragged into, it looked like a cave, and I was only about half a mile away from the rest of my squadron, and immediately as I woke up, I pressed the button, and I knew that, like, obviously, these guys had no chance as soon as the rest of my squadron came up into the cave. And they were just shouting at me, and they had a light right on my face. And I was really, like, that was the first time I'd ever been captured. And obviously, I'd been through it in training, like, simulations and things like that. And you don't really understand it, especially when there's a crazy Arab guy screaming in your face. And it just... It's
oh goodness!
Really
at any point, did you think your head was going to get cut off?
I'm pretty sure there was two guys in front of me, and I heard movement in the back. So I'm pretty sure there's people in the back. And at any moment, I thought that they were going to start reading a Quran and blast my head off.
Oh, dude! Was there like signs around the cave where they had caught other people? Remnants? No, it was just.
I'm assuming that these guys were just local militia, and they were just moving around, and they wanted to take me out of visible sight. And so they brought me into this cave. I'm pretty sure they didn't have anything to do. I wasn't even on a chair. I was just sitting on the floor.
Can you talk about how you were picked up, like how they got you? I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing you know, like, some classified shit. Like, there's stuff you can't talk about, but...
There is stuff I can't name any... I'm not going to name anyone, but there are certain things that I'm not able to talk about, and there are certain things that I can't talk about.
So how can you talk about how they captured you?
Maybe well, not. I, as I said, I was out on intel. And I was trying to figure out we were about to enter a, this was back in Afghanistan, we were trying to look for, like, Taliban insurgents and the like. And there was a town about a mile out from our encampment. And I was going to go there and I was going to see if it was a safe town to stay the night or if it was run by Taliban. So, I was out there and there was a ridge to my right, I remember. And it was, I'm not sure if you guys have ever been outside the States, but Middle East in the middle of the summer, it's 100 Fahrenheit plus. It's so very, very hot. And so I remember that I was just walking down this ridge, and up to my right, I heard some footsteps. And so I turn around, and a little boy was walking. And obviously, I realize this now, that they use him as a distraction, because about 30 seconds after I'm watching this boy, like, I have my scope up, I'm looking at him, and I'm just, like, I'm seeing he's about 30, 40 yards away. I'm seeing if he has any visible weapons on him. And I, about 30 seconds in, I get a huge blow to the back of my head. And I have time to turn around to see that I've been taken by these insurgents. And right at that moment, I pretend to, like, clutch my chest. That's when I hit the tracking device that they'll be able to find out where I am. And then I go under again because they hit me directly in the nose. That's why I have a completely messed up nose right around now. And, so then I wake up in this cave. That's when it all goes down. I mean, you guys might think that special operatives are complete hard asses, but when it comes to apart from the Spetsnaz, when it comes to first time, I was still relatively new to the KSK. I'd only been in it for 3 years at that time. But that was she's my wife, but she was my girlfriend back then. And that was like the only thing that I could keep in my head.
What happened when your friends got there?
Friends got there. Well, they were, all the insurgents around me were dead in about 20 seconds. There must have been like 11 of them and three guys on my side. So they were out. And I know my ears are ringing afterwards, so I know they used some kind of concussion grenade. And those guys must have just been writhing around the floor. And we aren't the U.S. Army. The U.S. Army, they're usually nicer about it. Most of the time, they don't usually shoot to kill when it's in those types of situations, especially when it's out for intel, because you could use them to try and find information. But between us, especially one of these guys, I'm not going to name him, but he was the medic of our group, and I had known him since back when we were in the Army together, and we both applied for KSK. And it was especially big for him because he was one of my good friends. So they just came in, and they didn't spare any of them. They didn't take any of them for, like, maybe interrogation later. They just killed them all.
This
is awesome.
That is awesome. Dude, that's sick. That sounds like it's right out of a movie.
Yeah, great. That's an awesome story.
Yeah, when you watch the, like, after that happens, and then you go see the movie, and you're like, that's not what happens. They don't sit there. They don't know English. They don't sit there and talk to you in English. They don't. It's not like that. I'm not sure if they were there to hurt me or they expected me to know. I don't really know what happened still.
Well, I'm sure if it were a situation
I bet that's
where
the one time you're ready to take a flashbang to the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Bet you were pissed when you saw Iron Man. Hey,
you're like, that's not how it happened at
all. Yeah, when you saw Iron Man, they're like, they're giving him all this shit to build his missile and
like,
stuff. You're like, dude,
they did not give me all the tools.
Damn. That's what I was picturing, though, as you were talking.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, one movie where they're pretty rough on him, and
it's Frank. Frank, are you still there?
Yeah, he got dropped. Yeah. Hold up.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's an awesome fucking story. Did you know about that?
Just got disconnected.
Okay, we'll get you back. But that movie Brothers, about the, you know, the U.S. soldier who gets captured or whatever, and he's held for, I don't know how long, maybe 6 months or whatever, and then his brother's back home, like, hanging out with his girlfriend or whatever. Pretty rough. They were burning him, it seemed like. It seemed like they were, like, burning him with hot steel. That was a pretty rough. But I guess if you were kidnapped by, like, an organized group of individuals and maybe there was some kind of hierarchy, there would be somewhere where there was a translator or something, because otherwise they really can't interrogate you effectively. I mean, you know, there's a language barrier, but obviously this was a situation where it's probably just a bunch of assholes in the, you know, wilderness.
Trying to show up and get in the good graces of somebody higher up than them.
Yeah, like yeah. You know, they probably weren't even aware that you were German. They're probably like, those guys have all got like, they were probably hoping you were American. They were probably like, admit you're American. We know it.
Yeah, most I've spoken to a lot of insurgents that there we catch them and we have a translator, and a lot of the time they expect every person that's carrying a gun that isn't an Arab to be an American. They just expect they don't know that there's, I mean, this, I'm talking about the average, like, I know Joe, I guess you'd call him the average Joe in the middle of the desert. They don't know anything. I mean, have you ever seen the movie Body of Lies?
Yep, great.
Yeah, that movie. Yeah, they get messages talking about how they're going to overthrow America. They don't talk about Germany. They don't talk about Spain. They don't talk about all those different countries that also are attacking them. Well, not attacking them, like just fighting with them.
Yeah,
they don't know about that.
I wonder sometimes if the Atlantic Ocean exists.
That's what I was about to say. Like I, not specifically the Atlantic Ocean, but I wonder if some of these people who are like in these villages who are being like, convinced to be suicide bombers and convinced to become part of this this jihad. I wonder if they have like a comprehension of what it would actually take to invade, you know, the United States from their.
I wonder when they get to the point of the Atlantic Ocean, they got to start building fucking ships.
Yeah, like, they're going to have to go Christopher Columbus on our ass, all right? Like, this isn't like, it's not like we can all go hop in our C-130s and head on over with the tanks and the jeeps and the, you know, the infantry that we don't even have. It's like, we're going to have to go Christopher Columbus style and build some galleons real quick. Like, it's ridiculous. Like,
what most people don't know is that most of the bombs that are actually made and attempted to use, like, I'm just pulling a random number out of my head, but I'm pretty sure it's around right. Like, 75% of the bombs that are given out barely ever even go off. I mean, these people are that dumb.
One of the funniest, most, like, I don't even know, one of the greatest stories I've ever heard was about this Palestinian suicide bomber in Israel. He gets on a bus, and he stands up in the middle of the aisle, and, you know, he screams something, probably, you know, Allah Akbar! And then he pulls out his thing and goes to press the button, and it doesn't work. And the people on the bus beat him to death.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably just attacked him, dude.
The people on the bus beat him to death.
Oh. Now, you just remind me of something. I'm in Texas right now, and on the news recently, there was this guy, I'm not sure if he was coming to Texas or somewhere else in America. This guy from Nigeria, you might have heard about this. He tried to blow up a plane. Instead, he just set his crotch on fire. He got arrested.
Wow.
And he ended up with, like, a completely incinerated crotch.
Oh!
And, yeah, so that's probably the biggest failure I've ever
had. I wonder if he had thermite or something in there. That would have sucked.
Oh, man.
Especially with thermite on your crotch.
He probably stood up and was like, death to America! And, like, pressed the button.
He went to the bathroom. He went to the bathroom. So, like, imagine him going to the bathroom, and he comes out with his crotch on fire, and people think that he's just, like, something bad happened. Like, he was one of those assholes that's trying to smoke a cigarette in the bathroom. And then they, like, take off his chest, and there's a bomb strapped to him.
Yeah. I got a question. Shit. Why do they always got to wear the bomb? Why can't they just sneak the bomb on, plant it in the bathroom, blow it up, and then jump out the plane?
Say, dumbass.
What?
Well, yeah, all right.
That's too much planning. They can't do all that.
Well, I mean, first of all, it's hard to get anything aboard a plane nowadays. In America.
He obviously got the bombs on the plane. He's halfway home.
Even if you can't
get out of the plane with a parachute, at least you tried.
Yeah, you can't get out of a plane in a parachute. Not at 35,000 feet at 600 miles an hour.
Not a passenger plane like that.
Yeah, you would have to make... I remember there was some guy back
in the
80s.
The plane would be going down.
There was some guy back in the 80s, I remember, who he was on some kind of like payroll plane or something, and he actually made them go to a lower altitude and parachute it out, and they never found him. And they don't know if he survived or not. They say that the probability of him surviving was, you know,
Yeah, but it got stole all that damn money that jumped out of Oregon, right?
Yeah, yeah, jumped out.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Cooper. What's his name?
Yeah. So they don't know if he survived. I mean, and he had quite a bit of money. They didn't find him or the money, so who knows?
Living it up on an island somewhere, I'm sure.
Maybe so. It sounded like he had a really great plan, you know, the first half of the robbery, so maybe he had somebody waiting on him down there.
That's another part of the plan. You plant the charge in the bathroom. You pull your gun out. You get the pilot to drop the thing. You jump out and you say bye. And the next thing they know, boom, the ass end of the plane's gone.
Tell you what, if you're sending me in like with a bomb, let's make sure you know how to make the bomb first. Like,
let's get a couple of them detonated.
Exactly.
Yeah, some pre-fires. We need some test runs.
Yeah, if he's like, all right, Cal, here's the deal. You're gonna go plant this explosive aboard that plane. Get out of there. Hit the button. It's all good. All right. So you got any more of these bombs? No, I just got the one. I'm going to need you to make another one, because we're testing this one out. Fucking works before I carry a bomb onto a plane.
Now, what do you do if it doesn't work? Do you slap the shit out of the guy?
Yeah, if it doesn't work, if it doesn't work, he's like, oh, no big deal. I just forgot to insulate the wires. I'm like, no, fuck you. No. No. Forget the whole thing. Like, no, you can't even make a bomb work right.
The thing is, with these terrorists, most of them, when they go and blow themselves up, they're not doing it. They're doing it to blow themselves up along with other people because they think that, like, it's going to give them safe entrance to heaven.
Yeah.
So they're not out to jump out of the plane at the same time. So the best way to punish one of these guys that really didn't like him is to have him go and fail at doing something that he's been waiting for his entire life and then get arrested and then get raped in prison over and over again by these black guys.
Nothing like a good old-fashioned prison rape. How many versions is it that they get? Is it 60? How many is it?
I think it's 77. I think it's there's different. There's Sunnis and there's Shiites. They're two different Muslims, two different types of Muslims.
Well,
like,
which one gets more virgins? Because that's the one I want to be.
I'm not sure if it differs.
Do they get a new bed after every virgin?
What a crock of shit, man. I gotta ask this. All right, and Wings, you would have to say something like that. Hopefully half or... I guarantee like 90% of our subs have no idea what you're talking about, but I do, and I don't want to go down that road. Here's the thing, like, I saw this thing one time, and it was like, you know, it was like showing the picture of the 77 virgins, and they showed like 77 computer nerds, like, hanging out, you know, with glasses and acne and shit, like a bunch of guys, because those are the obvious virgins. I always thought that would be funny if that's what they got. They got, like, 77, like, 17-year-old dudes, like, super nerds or something. It's just, like...
And they just happen to be geek hell or something.
Yeah, it's geek hell, basically. Oh, man. Yeah, but if you're sending me in with a bomb, I want that... I don't want it to be a half-ass bomb. Like, I personally have no problem making a bomb that can blow up a car. I can craft that in just a minute. But will it kill me instantly? I mean, I know it'll blow the doors and the roof off the car, but it might just, like, mutilate me. I might survive that shit. I want a bomb that's going to vaporize me. I don't want anything to be left. I don't
want
to, like...
I want the atom bomb.
Yeah. I want to be atomized. I don't want to come out of this experience with all the skin gone off my face like fucking Skeletor.
I want my mom to come by with the urn and just scoop him out off the seat.
Yeah. You don't even have to worry about, like, does he want to be cremated or buried? What the fuck are you talking about? He's already both.
Yeah, where is he first?
I want the conversation at dinner table to go something along these lines. Is that urn? Yeah, that's my son Kyle. And some in a Dodge Dart passenger seat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you better know what you're doing if you're going to send me in there with some piece of shit strapped to me. And, I mean, honestly, like, I could envision a situation where that would be something that maybe not I would personally do, but I could understand people doing. Like if, you know, you're in some situation where your country had been occupied, and it's part of, like, the resistance, you know, you go into, like, a police station or something where they're enforcing the new regime's law upon you. I can understand a suicide bomber. I could definitely understand a car bomber. I just don't understand the whole aspect of, like, they want to make sure that they kill themselves when they do it. Because that's just cheating anyway, as far as, like, dying and, you know... dying in the holy war or whatever. That's cheating if you just kill yourself. It's one thing if you go in, like, fighting with a sword and, you just die. It's another thing if you just run in fighting with a sword and then stab yourself. That's just stupid.
Yeah, like the Japanese. The Japanese were stupid.
Japanese were assholes, man.
Like Iwo Jima, they're sort of cooking grenades and killing themselves.
Yeah,
be
you
prisoners.
See that? Have you seen letters from Iwo Jima when they're all like, "Onagula!" And they're like, they all like,
that one motherfucker don't want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be that dude. I'd be like, fuck that shit. I'm not killing myself. Like we're not.
I mean,
even
they were starving. They were cold, and then they got to kill themselves. Only if they knew if they gave up, they would have been fed. They would have had a hot place to sleep and wouldn't have to dig
most
tunnels.
Most of the time, yeah. Most of the time, that'd be true. I mean, sometimes, like, I mean, even in letters from Iwo Jima, you see, like, a couple guys give up, and the guys are like, I don't want to watch these prisoners. Like, yeah, I don't either. Let's keep going. All right, well, let's kill these guys first. And they just kill the two prisoners and they leave.
Have you guys watched The Last Samurai?
Yes.
With Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise. Yeah,
I remember in that movie, they repeated over and over again, all those samurai guys, like, will you give me the permission to kill myself? It's like, because the emperor doesn't like them, they'll be like, can you give me permission to drive this sword through my heart? Just over and over again. It's like, why would you want to kill yourself?
Oh, those guys didn't, the samurais didn't, what was it called? It's called Harikiri or something? Harikiri?
Harikiri.
So yeah, something like that. They insert it into their abdomen, like on the right side of their abdomen, and they go from right to left, and they disembowel
it's
themselves.
It's also called seppuku.
Yes, it is. It's probably like one of the worst ways of, you know, killing yourself, definitely. And they disembowel themselves.
Yeah, these guys are like, I will happily do this to myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, most of the time they have somebody help them. They like cut their head off as soon as they go in.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's true. They would have like a guy behind them that's, you know, they would do the ritualized part where they do, you know, just gut themselves, but immediately you have your buddy lop your head off so you don't have to lay there and suffer for, you know, however long it takes to die after you disembowel yourself. I would think it takes quite a while. Yeah. Depending on if you like hit some major artery or something and that's not a guarantee. If you don't bleed out right away, then it's going to take quite some time.
All right, let's switch the subject. Let's go drop one of our other ones. Worst movie ever made. Start with Onslaught.
Worst movie ever made?
It's an opinion question, so it can't be wrong.
Yeah, I understand that, Wings, but you kind of have me on the spot there. I'm not a big movie buff.
Let's start with you.
Yeah, that's nice. Appreciate that. Give me time to think about it. Do a little Google search here.
Google search.
I'm not Google searching. I still have 77 virgins in my Google search box right now. Worst movie ever. I'm really at a blank, guys.
Well, I mean, first of all, it depends. Like it.
Well, we could. All right. Okay. Well, let's talk about what I thought was my favorite movie of all time, and which Kyle thinks is the worst Kevin Costner movie of all time, which was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Terrible.
I thought that was a great movie. I really enjoyed that movie. Some Morgan Freeman action in there, and Kyle said it was the worst Kevin Costner movie ever, which I would have to disagree. I thought it was a great movie.
Well, whenever you're talking about, like, worst movie ever, you gotta think, you know, there's been tons and tons of low-budget movies that are just complete shit and would all tie for it. So you gotta bump up your standards to maybe, you know, movies that were meant to be mainstream movies, but they just failed terribly. And I would have to look at a movie like Gigli or whatever, the one with Jennifer Lopez and what's that guy's name that she was gonna marry but didn't? Ben Affleck. That's a terrible movie. Or a movie like From Justin to Kelly. It's got Kelly Clarkson and that Justin Guarini guy from American Idol. Or,
See, like, I don't even know about these movies. I'm sure you and Wings are huge. Yeah, but you and Wings are huge movie buffs, so y'all know tons of stuff.
Well, nobody's going to know the movie. I'm going to drop out on you. And it's just like Kyle said, you can't go like Manos, the Hands of Fate, you know, just because it's randomly considered the worst movie of all time. Manos was made with a budget of like, you know, $3,000. You got to give them props. They made a tangible movie for $3,000.
Yeah, exactly. I go after, I more look for movies like any movie that Shaq has ever been in. So you can look
like
at Shazam and Steel.
Shazam? Dude, he was awesome. Shazam. Kazam, yeah.
Genie. Who the fuck? Kazam. Yeah, it was Kazam. Fuck that shit. Terrible. Who's going to be a giant black genie that comes out of a boombox? That's retarded. When they came to him with that idea, he was like, yeah, that sounded like a real good idea.
Dude, y'all remember Shaq Fu, the video game with Shaq?
Yeah, I remember,
remember that.
I actually liked that game. People
that game was badass. Up. Yeah, I liked
it. What system was that on?
Sega Genesis?
Sega Genesis, yeah. Sega.
If there's anybody out there that has a Sega Genesis and has Shaq Fu,
Kyle Wilson.
Hey, let me drop you the worst movie I think ever made. And this is going to get some motherfuckers, they're going to scratch their head like, I might have to go watch this. Don't. It is Tales of a Vampire. It's made in 1992, and it stars Julian Sands. This movie is so bad that the American, you know, the American knockoff of it was named Warlock Tales of a Vampire. They were trying to cash in on the Warlock series that Julian Sands was covering in. Me and my buddy Chris watched this movie one night. We rented it at a video store. We're back when VHS was still popular. We used to have like 5 for $5 deals right here. You 5 movies, $5, 5 nights. And we went on a vampire binge. We just got out of school. It was like, let's go get all vampire movies. We rented Tales of a Vampire. And this movie stopped time. Because I felt the movie was like 6 hours into it, and it literally been like 45 minutes. The worst movie ever made. Tales of a Vampire. Quote me on that one. What you got, Frank?
I have this movie that I watched it a while ago. I really cannot remember the name of it, but I'm just going to go down with the plot. It's definitely a really, really cheap movie. And it starts off with these students trying to go to a hidden part of forest in Africa, trying to find the missing link between man and ape. And there's this crazy Asian...
Is it my Congo?
No, it's not. I don't think it's Congo. Let me just look it up. It was a really cheap movie. And it was really bad, too. Yeah, no, it's not Congo.
Congo was a good movie. I like Congo.
Yeah, Congo's good.
So, and what Congo did wrong was they killed off their best actor in the first, you know, first four seasons
I
of the
know,
movie.
Right?
You had
What's
a gold mine
name?
On you. Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't. Yeah, when I saw Bruce Campbell's in there, I'm like, all right. You guys just fucked up. Instead of Bruce Campbell being her boyfriend and this whole blonde guy from Nip Tuck being the scientist, it should have been reversed. Let the Nip Tuck guy die immediately and let Bruce Campbell be the main dude.
Dude, well, how come Bruce Campbell's never had, you know, like big leading roles other than like Evil Dead?
I don't know, man. His agent must suck, because that guy is a badass. That guy is good looking. He's a good actor.
He's charisma filled, son.
Yeah, he's got charisma. He's fucking awesome. He's funny. He could have. Me and you have talked about this before. He could have easily been an actor on the level of like
Mel
a maybe. Yeah, I think he's got Mel. I think he's probably not as good of an actor as Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson's a great actor.
I don't care. Probably not his movies probably gross more.
Definitely. I don't think he could have been a superstar, but he could have definitely been somebody.
He's
got to
be better than Josh Hartnett or fucking who else is popular now?
I don't know. Hartnett did a really good job in Sin City, I thought.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I think there's some kind of like New World Order conspiracy to make Shia LaBeouf the new this action star. All along, I've been like, fuck him. He's goofy looking. He's a fucking nerd. He was on that Nickelodeon shit. He's not a good actor. He's not charismatic. He's not good looking. I don't like watching him. I don't look at him and be like, yeah, I'd like to be that guy. No, I think to myself, yeah, I could beat the shit out of that dude. That guy's a turd. I watch him in those movies, and I'm just like, every time. Like in Transformers, when they like pair him up with, what's her name? What's,
Megan Fox.
You know, Megan Fox. It's everybody's like dream girl, apparently. And yeah, I admit she's absolutely gorgeous. But
talking about toe thumbs.
Man, y'all always got to pick on somebody's thumbs. It's not even that.
You ever see your thumbs?
No. How would I see your thumbs?
Just put in Megan Fox thumbs.
Anyway, someone who's basically like 99.9% perfect. Wings has an issue with her thumbs. I will say this though. Like,
look at them. Look at them. Look them up right now.
I find her extremely attractive. I'll admit, like, I'm not one of those people that's like, nah, man, she's not hot. Like, no, I'm not stupid. But I will say this.
Her thumb does not look like a big toe.
Yeah, that's nasty.
I would suck the shit out of that thumb. Anyway.
That's disgusting. In Transformers, though, I think he played the part. Like, you can't have some, like, buff, like, crazy dude playing the part that he's playing. You need some little, like, nerdy, geeky kind of guy. Right,
yeah, but he can't be hooking up with Megan Fox.
Yeah, that's
get him a, say what, if you're going to do that, get him a nerdy girl. Get him, like, that redhead from Superbad. Get him a Lindsay Lohan, who's like, you know, she's good looking, but she's not a Megan Fox. I'll tell you this. I'd rather have Lindsay Lohan than Megan Fox in the real world. Definitely.
Yeah, because you can get Lindsay Lohan a little bit of coke and get her into bed a lot easier.
Megan Fox got some big old titties. Yeah.
Titties.
I dated a girl for a long time that looked just like Lindsay Lohan. Oh, man, good times.
Look at Kyle reminiscing.
I don't know if I could take her over Megan Fox, though, but...
I would. I don't know. Megan Fox seems, like, incredibly high maintenance, and you'd always be, like, looking around, like, everybody's always, like, staring at her, like, stop staring at her ass! And they're like, it's Megan Fox, dude, you can't blame me. You're like, yeah, you're right, fuck!
Hey, while we're on that, Frank, you're married, right?
We still gotta get Frank's worst movie.
There, Kyle, right, that's there for you.
Holy shit.
It's a big link.
That thing's huge. It's like a Bible.
Who is that?
Frank, what was...
Sexy.
What?
Dude, that's not... Megan Fox.
What did they do to her?
Oh, yeah.
What she do?
That is not her.
That's her. That's a very good Photoshop of her.
That's a very good Photoshop.
Yeah, that's what
that's
that
terrible,
is.
That's terrible, man.
What was your worst movie?
He just sent us a link of Megan Fox, but they photoshopped it in like reverse, so she looks like she weighs about 200 and...
No, she's about 180.
Dude, this girl right here...
I don't
here,
know, it doesn't even look like her.
This girl right here probably weighs about 200 pounds. She's got man hands, like her hands look like my hands. And
yeah, she does, that's disgusting.
Look at his hands,
she has
dude.
Man hands now.
Dude, back off the girl's hands.
Got like Shrek hands.
Those are some manly hands. Like, if you got slapped by one of those hands, you'd be silly. But, pow! Those are some big hands.
So, Frank, what was your movie? Did we ever get around to that yet?
Oh, yeah. I really can't remember the name of it, but I know for a fact it's the worst movie I've ever seen. It's like these students try and go off to secret part of the forest in Africa where the apparent missing link between man and ape has, like, still exists. And so they have this old creepy professor and this weird Asian girl that's like 4'11" and is apparently an expert with all kinds of knives and guns. So you like, it seems like it's shot through like a flip camera, whatever you guys use in your videos. It's like that bad. And they're like trekking through the forest, and I kid you not, the first time you see, this is like a new movie, it's like from 2006 or something. I kid you not, the first person that dies is the creepy professor guy, and the ape is literally like a plastic or Play-Doh something, a Play-Doh ape that is made to look like it's a beast, marching along this like little like play pretend forest, and then it just like jumps off the screen, and then the camera swaps around to the perspective of the ape jumping on the woman, and then the professor, and the professor's just out of the picture. And that's how it happens for every single person.
Wow.
And then it ends with, like, the last girl. She's in a cave. And apparently these apes have night vision because the camera swaps the night vision when it's attacking her.
Dude, this sounds a lot like Congo.
No.
Dude, the apes from Congo...
Congo was good. They were badass.
Yeah, but they had night vision
backs
in Congo, too.
Let me see.
No, it's definitely not Congo, dude.
No, it's definitely not Congo.
Yeah, it's definitely not. Yeah.
Congo was a great movie, though. I like the whole idea that you've got... I like movies like that, where there's a moment where they like see that there's some like ancient reason why this all happened, where it was like, you know, when they see that these apes have been trained to protect Solomon's diamond mines, and it's a good backstory. I like a movie
about
that's
you,
got
Onslaught?
A mystique to it.
What about me?
What
about me?
What?
Worst
movie? You did your favorite
movie. I did. Dude, I still don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I may get some. I don't know. I didn't like Demolition Man, and I'm probably gonna get some hate for that.
No, so, you're right. That's
it's not that
Wesley
good.
Wesley Snipes. Yeah, it was. Well, it was kind of. I mean, it had two. You know, heavy hitters.
It's not the worst
it's
movie
thing.
Ever made, though.
Judge Dredd is worse than
even
Demolition
Judge
Man.
Dredd.
Yeah,
is not
Judge,
the worst movie.
Yeah, Judge Dredd was. But I don't have the movie library that you have, Wing. So
yeah,
I,
you got to think
I,
he's like.
I get a little
leeway
here.
And I think that's for the best, though, because like as I said earlier, like I think if you're going to go with the worst movie, you've got to go with a movie that should have turned out well when you look at the. The actors and the
here's one. The Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace. Oh,
was that Star Wars?
All right,
Episode One.
They did a all right. Let me see where
they
went.
No, that shit was boring. I don't care about that fucking pod race.
Yeah, they all right. Yeah. They
here's another one. Star Trek: The Motion Picture.
All right, now which one?
I thought that was
the motion
picture,
the first one.
Oh.
Talking about the very first one.
What was the enemy in that one? Remind me real quick.
It was like an all-knowing consciousness of light.
What?
I need to go back and watch that. It's on Netflix. I've seen them all. I just can't recall that one.
It's got the bald chicken shit in it.
Here's the thing, man. Anything, like I like Star Trek, so like I can watch the old episodes where like Kirk fights the lizard man and be entertained. Yeah.
I love the old Star Trek. I wish they would bring Star Trek back with a new cast. You know, like from the movie? Because that new Star Trek movie kicked ass, dude. That kicked hard.
Yeah, that Star Trek,
because they really we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but the whole time travel thing and the way they just, like, redid everything, it opens the door for, you know, the original characters, the original ship, but a brand new timeline.
And they should make a TV show.
Well, I mean, you can't have those same those actors aren't going to do TV.
I mean, yeah. What big name actors in there?
Well, I mean, I recognize like all of them. Really, I mean, the black chick and the captain and Kirk. The one that all right, this will be easier. Kirk, I recognize Scotty, Kirk, Uhura, and Spock is he's the main bad guy from a TV show called Heroes that I don't think you've watched any of, but that got canceled recently.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
his schedule's open. And he's already in TV.
he's in another TV series out. I forget the name of it. I watch it every fall. I forget the name of it. He's in another series, though, where crazy shit happens every, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he's gay. Somebody
told me. I'm surprised the guy who plays Dexter ain't gotten into movies yet.
Yeah, I know. He's maybe he's one of those guys that
maybe
just
he's
like
Kevin Costner. Well, he has one
maybe
character.
I was going to say, worst movie. Here you go. Here's a good one. I was just like, I'm messing around scrolling through Netflix. Battlefield Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've never even
and
seen
this,
it, so I don't
and
know.
This actually opens the door to us to talk about Scientology a little bit.
Oh, shit.
Battlefield Earth, dude, that is a bad movie.
Who here knows what Scientology is all about?
I do.
Are you guys aware? All right, let me give you the really quick breakdown. And this is a breakdown, like, if I were going to explain Christianity to somebody, I would say God sent his son to earth to pay for man's sins. He was crucified, and now man can ask God directly for forgiveness for his sins and be forgiven because Jesus died for their sins. That's how I would describe Christianity in a word, you know, really quickly. Here's Scientology. According to a man named L. Ron Hubbard, who also happens to be a science fiction writer. He's dead now, by the way.
I like where this is going.
20 million years ago, the intergalactic ruler, Xenu, who ruled over a huge galactic empire, decided that his planets were overpopulated. So he gathered up millions and millions of people and put them aboard spaceships that looked like DC-10s but with rocket engines. He put them through. He flew them to Earth. He froze them, flew them to Earth, and dumped them into Earth's volcanoes. Then, when their souls rose up, he captured them in giant soul catchers and forced them to into these like brainwashing things that showed them footage and. And like audio that brainwashed him into thinking that they were people, and then they roamed Earth with nowhere to go for thousands and thousands of years until man came along, and they all went into human beings, and those spirits of the dead aliens are the cause of all of our bad emotions and problems now. They're called body thetans. And the only way to get rid of your body thetans, boys and girls, is to pay to be audited. You don't find this out, by the way, until you're a very high-level Scientologist, which is going to cost you close to $100,000.
What?
That's what John Travolta believes. That's what Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes believe. That's what all these fucking Hollywood actors are. And that was part of the plan of L. Ron Hubbard, was to indoctrinate these Hollywood actors into the program. And my guess, that the way they do it, besides just basic brainwashing, is part of the auditing process is giving up all your secrets, all your dirty little secrets. So, they know that Tom Cruise is gay now, so they're going to tell on him if he doesn't make commercials for him. You see Tom Cruise, like, talking about Scientology, and you can tell that motherfucker is brainwashed. He is out of his fucking gourd. Those people are a fucking cult with a capital C.
Now, let me get my take on this. See, me personally, I'm not a Christian, and I believe it. In the most feasible amount that we are exact engines of aliens. That doesn't mean I believe in Scientology. I don't believe any bullshit about a rocket ship and a volcano.
Yeah.
And a personal, and the atmosphere being a personal shield. But I can see how, like, if another race existed, how they could influence in our infant stages and see how we turned out, like science experiments.
Yeah, I could see something like that, or I could see, like,
you got shit on Earth that you can't explain, like, you know, the Aztec temples, the Great Pyramids of Giza, you got these Mayan, you know, structures that up on the hill with these big slabs of stone that no man could get up there at any point in his fucking life during that time period. They didn't have cranes, they didn't have winching systems, they didn't have mathematics.
I don't know. All I'm saying is the Scientologists are a cult, and when you got, and if you guys are ever in a situation where you can, you can band together with the
and go on a shooting spree,
whether it's like a couple angry Muslims and there's a couple of night of peaceful Scientologists, go hang out with those Muslims, because at least they'll be legit with you. The Scientologists are some weird, weird motherfuckers. They are brainwashed. There's a Church of Scientology not too far from where I used to live, and we used to drive past it and just, like,
point and laugh.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
I was going to say something here, but
what does it look like? What does a church for Scientology look like? I mean, I wouldn't imagine it would have a steeple.
Like a family doctor office, like a family practitioner.
Wow.
Just a little brick building. I mean, it was a smaller one in Atlanta. The big ones are in Florida. That's where there's some really big ones in Florida. But I mean, there's cases of people, like, spending their life's fortune on it. Like,
what is making that noise?
Frank, you have some background stuff going on there.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Oh, sorry, I was clicking on my Mac.
Yeah, I thought you'd been kidnapped again. I was getting a little worried.
We thought that wood was the planks they were using to put in your foot.
Oh my God, that's a terrible story. I still can't get over that story about you getting kidnapped in Afghanistan.
That's ridiculous. Are we done with the Scientology stuff?
I got one more
no?
thing to add about that. You know, everybody knows I'm a big Carl Sagan fan, and I just wanted to reinforce my sting before I get, you know, fanboys like, "You're stupid as shit. Jesus number one." You know. I'm not downing your religion. I mean, it might be correct, far as I know. But see, I'm a man of fact. And I just want to go ahead and push it out. Any of y'all ever heard of the Drake equation?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Well, the Drake equation is basically a mathematical equation to kind of decipher how many planets in the universe has habitable life on it. And, you know, even at the worst case scenario, there could be 10 planets in the entire universe. And if you change like one stage, it becomes 10,000 planets. So they're going to be anywhere from being 10 to 10,000 planets that evolved just like us. So the other people that could be further along in their level of, you know, thinking and clairvoyance and all this could have influenced, like, our ancient Egyptians and Mayans, and basically built upon, you know, the building blocks of where we're at today. If you look at it today, think about it right now. It's 2010, all right? In 1995, the fucking PlayStation was coming out. You know, cell phones were just starting to get big. You know, HD TVs weren't invented yet. 15 years later, look where we're at now. Cell phones are smaller than your hand. You can be put in your ear. You know, there's like little radios you carry around that has a cell phone built in and a digital camera. We're making evolves at leaps and bounds, bounds.
I mean, it's an even bigger leap if you look at where we were 100 years ago. If you look at 1910 until today, it's just a massive leap forward.
100 years, yeah, right here, 1910.
The last 100, more shit has happened in the last 100 years than probably in human history past since then.
Let me throw something on you here. It took us 12.5 million years, to stand upright. To go from a crouch position to a fully straight spine. And you tell me in 100 years we go from not having a car to having cars where we're bitching about how to get them more fuel efficient?
Oh, speaking of fuel efficient, I just bought a new truck. That bad boy is nice. It goes from 8 cylinders to 4 cylinders on its own.
That's a bunch of junk.
Dude, what are you talking about? You don't even notice it, and it gets 25 miles a gallon.
You don't notice it until it breaks down.
It's
a sensor on the transmission, and is known to go out, and the shit costs about $2,000 without installation prices.
Well, it's a good thing it has a lifetime warranty.
Dodge or something? You got to shit out your product.
No, it's like 100,000 to 150,000 mile warranty. It'll be 10 years before I put that many miles on that truck. The truck will be gone by then, dude.
Don't let me get me wrong. I have no problem with Dodge products. Dodge used to make.
Oh, it's not a Dodge.
Dodge used to make a disclaimer. Dodge used to make some of the best cars on the road, but since they sold the shit and Chrysler started getting in trouble, Dodge is the worst product you can buy that's American right now. I mean, there's probably going to be a lot of Dodge haters and fanboys out there, but I'm telling you the truth from my experience. You want a nice American truck, get you a Ford, get you a Chevrolet, hell, even get you a Mazda. That's made by Ford.
I got a Chevrolet. Got a Chevy LT four-door, all the options, black leather.
Oh, you got the Silverado, son.
Hell yeah, man.
Oh, man, I've been wanting one to show. I've been wanting a GMC version of it, though. I like the GMC nose better.
I don't like the GMC nose. I like the Chevrolet. I've always liked the Chevrolet. It's a nice truck. I think the only thing I didn't get was the sunroof, and who the hell wants a sunroof in a truck anyway?
I do.
What the hell for, man?
I got a sunroof.
To have it. I'd be like, you'd be like, oh, you got another seat, but you got a sunroof?
I had a sunroof in the last car that I actually bought. And I didn't lie. I almost never used that thing. Like, it was just...
Oh, those new Chevrolets, they drive like a Cadillac, too.
Oh, man, it's nice. I'm really enjoying it so far.
Everybody who drives trucks, you probably drive these old beat-up trucks that's been around the block a couple times with the shitty shot suspension. These new trucks, they're Cadillacs. They got those gas shock suspension systems on them. Whew.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it so far. I did find a dent in it today. I'm gonna have to go.
The metal on those new Chevrolets are horrible.
It's like a really tiny, tiny one. I'm gonna have to get it popped out.
So here's a tip: don't stand on the bed rails ever.
Why would I stand on the bed rails?
Like say you're climbing up. So you got to climb over into the bed. Like sometimes I'll go over the tire and step on the bed rail and go into the bed. It will warp your bed rail.
That wouldn't be any good.
I mean, the way they make those trucks lighter, more fuel efficient, they're actually skimping on the metal. They're using lighter metals than what they used to. Like back in the day, in like the 80s, you could take a Silverado and run it into a fucking light pole, and somebody's gonna be mad at you for tearing a light pole down.
We're gonna need a light pole here, sir. Now, get your truck out of here.
Nowadays they have the crumple effect on, which is more safe because it distributes the force of an impact throughout the body of the truck. So you don't feel the entire impact and like impale yourself with the steering wheel. But those old steel frames, they were steel. They didn't fuck around. Yeah. It's like, ba-boom, you're through the windshield.
Another thing I'm about to do, I went today and
I was looking at 67, 68, and 69 Camaros. I'm about to buy one of those and restore it myself.
I want a 1970 Dodge Challenger with a 440.
That would be nice. I like the old Chevelles, too. 454. I like old cars. I like mostly Chevrolets. I'm not a big
fan. That's why I was kind of like bigging up Dodge, because two cars I want, I want on a Hemi Cuda, a 69 Hemi Cuda, and on a 1970 Dodge Challenger.
With the big spoiler on the back.
Oh, yeah. With the big old, the big ass racing tires.
Yep. I like the old Camaros though. I really like the 69s, but lately I've been looking at some 67s and I really like those. So I want to get me one here in a couple days. If anybody out there knows like where you can go online and find, what I'm looking for is like a project car, something that somebody's already started on and they bought a bunch of shit for it.
Oldcars.com. They'll sell you frames and shit for like cheap.
Well, see, I want to start with a car that's like, you know, somebody's already started on, so they've got half the shit bought for it. You know, they've got like a lot of the chrome and mirrors and stuff, and they're wanting to sell it at like a discounted price because they, you know, they're up
their
neck. You
know what always bothers me, and it's kind of go back to the Star Trek movie, when people update the new cars. Like, you see the car with like iPod players in them and shit. I don't even want a CD player in my car. I want that shit to be like windshield wipers, be like a stick where I just pull over. And the windshield wipers come on.
What?
Yeah, my truck's
really.
But beforehand, windshield wipers were something you had to flip with your thumb.
Yeah. But why would you want that? Why would you not want music in your car?
You got radios, AM radio, AM FM.
Yeah, but that's lame.
So you definitely want to listen
to whatever.
But you don't drive. You don't drive it like a Dodge Challenger around as your normal driving vehicle. I still got my truck.
Oh, you're talking about the old cars.
If I had to go, like, you know, go to the grocery store, I'm not going to pull the Dodge Challenger out so some fucking little kid can kick it in the fucking food line parking lot.
Yeah, you're talking about when you restore a classic car. I thought you were talking about, like new cars. Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't like, but don't put a fucking iPod player in a classic car.
I understand that.
I wouldn't do
you
that.
You guys are pretty much the opposite of me, though. I'm more into like the, and Wings is going to hate this, I'm more into like the European scene. Like my, right now if I wanted to get a car to rebuild, it'd probably be like a early 80s Porsche, like a 911, probably like a Targa or something like that.
Which is totally different than
what you guys are thinking. But I drive a Volkswagen Jetta, so I'm not that big into the...
So your car is a powered-by-fan motor, huh?
Shit, my car will fucking move, son.
I bet you my truck will outrun your car.
Bullsh fucking shit.
What's your quarter mile?
Race.
I'll give you my quarter mile right now, 12.92.
I've never raced. I don't know. I've never been to a
12.92 is 6,000 pounds.
There is no way your truck runs a 12.92.
12.92. I'm blowing 6 pound supercharger. I got a 5.3 board out.
What?
And I got a fucking performance chip put in it.
Damn! I bet you. There's no way you can run a quarter mile. You have to stop and fill up gas halfway down the track. There's no way you can't even finish a quarter mile.
I also got a small cam in it, but the cam don't really do too much for the timing. It's more for the sound.
Really?
What?
No, I have
what
my Jetta just.
What was that, Kyle?
What size motor?
I guess it's 5.3, it's a
V8. Okay.
Ah, goodness, dude. Yeah, I couldn't drive that, dude. I have like a 30-mile commute to work every day.
Dude, I go 0 to 60 in about 6 seconds.
Yeah, my car is like a 1.8 liter turbo. It's chipped and it's fucking light as shit, and that thing will fucking move, dude.
It probably will, but you're probably about the same time my truck is.
Yeah.
My truck.
But yeah, and I've done all the like.
I mean, it's not like one of those old muscle cars that blow it out the water, right off the factory. But for a truck, and all where I live at around here, all the people like take these big ass tires and put it on the truck and jack the shit way the fuck up. Mine's a 4-wheel drive truck, and I just wanted a little more acceleration power, so I put all that shit on it.
Yeah, I've got the motor that whenever I find this Camaro that I'm wanting to rebuild, I've already got the motor and transmission for it. I've got a 383 stroker with a 2-speed Power Glide transmission, and I'm going to put that in it. And the car that's coming out of is a heavy-ass Trans Am, and that car runs a 10.2 quarter mile. But it's got racing slicks on it, and it's gutted out.
Yeah, you want some 12.92. That's my best time. That's with the tailgate on and a full tank of gas.
That's fast, man.
Damn. Yeah, that is fast.
All right, I'm going to cut you guys off here, but my wife needs to use my laptop because it's the only computer in the house that has a webcam on it. So
I think I just sent Wings a friend request, or whatever it's called, the Skype thing on my iPhone. It's my second Skype name, whatever it is. So I'm gonna let her get the
Okay, we're about to wrap up anyway. We'll see you, Frank.
All right,
later.
She's gonna be on 5 minutes. So, all right. See you guys later. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
Yeah,
no problem.
All right. Bye.
Damn. I had some questions for Frank. Well, not really questions, but I was going to ask.
That was a great story that he told.
Yeah, that was an awesome story. But I was going to ask him about getting back to the movies and stuff with him being married. I know you guys aren't. Neither one of you are like in serious relationships, are you?
Nope.
All right. Yeah. Sorry, guys. My wife said she's going to be another 10 minutes, so I can stay here.
Awesome. All right, Frank. I have a question for you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Still? All right, what is the ratio of you getting to watch, like, an action movie to watching a chick flick with your wife? Does she kind of just watch anything, or?
Well, my wife knows how I respond to seeing certain movies. If it brings up memories of, like, being captured, she knows that it's not going to be something that she's going to like. It's not necessarily going to be something that I'm going to like. And she's not the kind of girl that's into all those chick flick movies. So usually we'll just see like a regular comedy or something, but the occasional girly comedy is the only thing that happens, but I'm not really worried about it.
Oh man, you're lucky. I have to watch, my ratio is probably, I get to watch like an action and my wife really, she can't watch like any horror movies or anything. I have to watch them like with friends or just by myself. She can't watch any of those, but my ratio is probably like, I'll get to watch maybe 3 movies I want to watch to her one chick flick, which I don't guess it's that bad, but still, it's...
Well, her and my relationship's a bit different to the average one, considering I'm overseas a lot of time. I'm a consultant for private military corporations. I've been in special forces. She's not the ordinary bimbo that comes straight out of high school and tries to marry the normal guy. She has her own job. She understands that she doesn't have to sit around watching chick flicks all day. Not bashing. Your wife.
Yeah, I definitely don't think you tried to bash my wife, because I think I could take you with my architecture experience I have, you know. most girls like to watch, like, you know, a kind of a lighthearted kind of chicky flick from time to time, and that's not my cup of tea.
That's the girls you kick to the curb.
Oh, no. My God, what are you doing here?
but I was just interested. And I don't know, probably some of the listeners also would probably, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are in relationships and kind of can relate to that, so.
Yep.
Yeah, well, for me, I went to an all-boys school, and then I went straight into the military, and as you know, the percentage of guys to girls in the military, especially like 10 years ago, was very, very low. I mean, there was barely any women. So, I mean, as soon as I got out of Germany, that's when I actually start having, like, my first full, like, maybe 10-minute conversation with a woman that wasn't related to me. It's going to sound embarrassing, but it was when I was around 20 years old that wasn't related to me or wasn't a teacher at my school. It was when I was 20 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to sound embarrassing right now.
This is out of context, but the YouTube sub box is really fucked up. I just got my first Dr. Disrespect video in almost 3 months.
What? How random is that? Yeah, you were right. That is way out of context.
All
right,
speaking about YouTube and gaming in general, I just want to say one thing before this thing wraps up. As someone that's being trained for more than, I'd say, 5-6 years in military combat, when I try and play a game like modern Call of Duty, these games, I expect to be able to beat almost every single person unless there's some strength. And I walk in, and I'm trying to use special tactics that I've learned and, like, try and use, like, weapons that I usually would use. Like, I'm not sure if you guys know this, but the F-2000 in real life is a very good gun.
Yes, it is.
And I try and use that gun, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to control my fire. I'm going to sneak around this corner. And then this guy just, I hear you complaining about all this time. A nade launcher just flies out over the map. Like, people don't do that. And I'm like, you guys just learn how to play like you would play in a real, I don't know. It's
Yeah. Yeah. You get 360 no scoped off a ladder or something. You're like, dude, in real life that shit would not happen.
Yeah, like I'm walking around this Barrett 50 caliber, Barrett 50 cal, whatever it's called in the game. Like I'm, it's not the M95 because that's bolt action, but I'm running around this thing. I'm like, how am I running for this long? This thing weighs so much, and I'm sprinting around this huge map.
28 and then pounds, 6 ounces. Yeah,
28 pounds.
Marathon lightweight.
And so I shoot this guy, and I'm not sure if any of you guys have shot any kind of 50 cal, especially.
I own one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you've never shot an actual person with an M95.
No, I haven't.
But when it hits someone, it's not like it's going to go straight through. It's going to blow your arm off. Like, that arm is no longer going to be there. Especially, and I'm hitting this guy, and he's, like, still standing upright. And I'm like, wait a second, that shouldn't happen. It just shouldn't happen. It just gets me annoyed. Like, I can't play those games without, like, getting annoyed sometimes. I mean, I know it's just a game, but with the stuff that
can't be a scrubby dubby, son. Those newbies with the UMPs, they're going to rip your ass up.
How much do you actually get to play with traveling and everything? I mean, do you have, how many hours played for Modern Warfare 2 do you think you have?
I barely have any hours. I mean, you guys probably going to have me because I suck dick at this game, but my name is George fucking Bush. So I only have a PS3, but I barely have any time to play. I mean, my nephew showed this to me. He showed me the whole Machinima respawn, all this stuff back at January this year, and I've barely had any time played at all. I've maybe level 10, I think it is. That's how far you get. I barely have any time.
Okay, yeah, you just have started, yeah.
Level 10, you've got 10 levels.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I made a new account the other day, and I got to level, like, I think 28 before I stopped playing.
All right, guys, I have to go now. Bye. All
right, all right, thanks for coming on.
All right, no, thanks, Frank.
See you guys later.
No
problem. Bye.
We should probably wrap the podcast up pretty soon, anyway.
There, guys, that's been Painkill already, episode 21. Woody, we ain't going to be with us next week either. He's on some damn cruise in the middle of the ocean. Maybe maybe the air will not build the boats while Woody's on the cruise.
Let's hope not. Let's hope the pirates don't get him.
All right, guys, peace.
Later, guys.